Dive deep with us into the trenches of professional sports. From the electric charge of the hardwood to icy battles, the strategic plays, and to the global passion, we cover it all where no sport is left behind.
Join your hosts, Justin Williams, and myself, Nee Wallace Bruce, as we break down game strategies, dissect play performances, and give you the insider scoop on what's happening both on and off the field of play. We are the Pro Sports Podcasters. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review.
Hey PSP family, it's Justin here. So for this interview, the audio from our guest got a little weird, and pretty much every time I would speak, there would be an echo. So I'm going to do my best right now to record my questions and splice them into the conversation as naturally as possible. Evidently, though, it's not going to be perfect, so please bear with us. Thank you so much. Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Pro Sports Podcasters. I'm your host today, Justin Williams. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, passengers and drivers, I am rocking this ship solo today. Nee is off gallivanting, doing whatever he does, but you know what? We miss him here. Nee, if you're listening to this, we miss your brother. But anyways, today I have a man with me. He's actually a returning guest. He has been on this show before. He hails from Turkey. This gentleman has been writing and watching soccer, football longer than I've been on this face of this planet. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Mr. Bob Tugart. Bob, how you doing?
Thank you very much, Justin. Nice to be on your program again. I'm doing fine. How about you?
Bob, if I were any better, I would be you, sir. I'm currently at the cottage, living the cottage life dream. The weather has been a little rainy, but you know what? It's always a good day up here.
Yes, definitely. It was a disaster night for U.S. national team last night. You probably watched that. It was 5-1. It was probably the worst game that I ever watched for USA a long time.
You know what? Canada had the same issue there, Bob.
I did not watch Canada. What happened? I know probably it was late match.
A couple days ago, we lost to Netherlands 4-1.
Right.
And the U.S., unfortunately, was 5-1.
Oh, yeah. I knew about the Netherlands. But, yeah, well, you know, Canada is both Canada and USA teams are in, they have, well, Canada has a new coach. He's going to get used to some of the players. He probably doesn't know much of the players yet. But even though that, you know, he's American, right? He should know a lot of Canadian players. But I think what the USA problem is, I think they chose all the players that played in Europe. And with Canada, I think after Atiba is gone on the team and being an off season for a lot of players, I think, you know, the friendly games are always lopsided, if you ask me.
The friendlies are never an accurate representation of what a club can truly do.
I agree.
With that being said, though, it's really fun to look back at those and potentially gauge what the betting could be.
Oh, yeah. The betting is a huge, huge business in all over the world. You know that.
1,000%. And that's why here at Pro Sports Podcasters, we bet what we can afford to lose. That's why I bet a dollar at a time.
Sounds good. So I know in this program, we're going to be talking about Euro 2024 coming up. We'll also, if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about MLS. But pretty much, you know, the main concern right now, only 6 days away, European football, European soccer. You know, if I use soccer, people get mad at me because soccer is not a football, they say. But I think, Euro 2024 tournament is going to be a lot of fun. And it will start, like I said, in 6 days. And following Turkish national team for a long time, as you know, they don't call Turkey to Turkish national team now. It is Turkey, yeah. Even the UEFA and FIFA, and they changed that name. So people got to get used to that Instead of Turkey, it will be Turkiye.
Turkiye. I like it. Sir, what are your upcoming predictions for this 2024 Euro Cup?
Well, as far as the group that Turkey is in general, or are you talking about in general for winning the cup this year?
Sir, I'm going to tell you what I tell all of our guests. This is your show. We're just hosting the platform. You get to talk about whatever you want, whenever you want, however.
Thanks, Justin. Well, let's start with the group that Turkey is in. Their first match will be on June 18th against Georgia. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow on Monday, I don't know, we're taping this podcast program, but it might be available for them. They have a friendly match against Poland in Poland. I think Vincenzo Montella, the Italian coach that coaches Turkey, might have the exact starting lineup against Poland. Because the first match in this kind of tournament is very important. And you're playing a team against Georgia, very physical team. And that's why I think we'll see the starting 11 against Poland on Monday. After that friendly match, and both of the matches for Turkey will be in Dortmund in the last match. Well, actually, June 22nd, after Georgia match, Turkey plays Portugal. Ronaldo's team, Portugal, in the last match against former Czechoslovakia. That is on June 26th. So, it's and that game, I think it's going to be some other city. I don't have the exact city right now, but I think the first two matches is very important for Turkey. And I've been saying this on my Twitter account and also my Facebook Turkish football page. I said, Turkey is a young team with a young coach. The problem I see with Turkey going into Euro 2024, the goalkeepers and also actually, Turkey does not have a very good striker that we used to know, like some of the strikers that used to score a lot of goals. Now, we're looking at finally, thankfully, Vincenzo Montella selected Semih Kılıçsoy from Beşiktaş. Little hope, also Cenk Tosun, who used to play in Europe too, but Cenk Tosun is a little bit old. So he might not start in the first match. But Semih Kılıçsoy and players like Arda Güler and Kenan Yılmaz, these youngsters, and Barış Alper Yılmaz, also Ferdi Kadıoğlu. And they are good prospects to be a star. So, but I think the most important thing for Turkey national team is who's going to be in the goal. And also, who's going to score the goals for Turkey?
Damn, that was an in-depth analysis answer. Wow, you've been doing this for quite a while there. So, who do you think is going to come out with the championship in hand at this 2024 Euro?
Very tough questions. I'm looking at the England. I'm looking at the Germany. And you never know. You might have a team like Greece, the underdog, come win the championship. I'm not saying they're going to win it. I'm saying that a team like, remember when Greece won the Euro one time. So I don't think Turkey has a chance to win that, to be honest with you. If you look at the Holland, Netherlands, they don't have a very strong team. I think it is going to be at least between Germany and England.
As somebody with German heritage, as much as I love your optimism, I am not allowed to believe that they are going to do well after the debacle that was the World Cup.
You don't think so?
Considering they haven't really changed much of the team for this tournament, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't have faith, to be honest.
Well, since World Cup, I think they probably got their, you know, players under control and probably got more experience. But I think, I mean, if you look at the England same way too. So other than England and Germany, you have next line, Netherlands, maybe Czechoslovakia, or I don't think Poland is no near being the champions of Europe. So if you look at all these teams, you know, the teams that we used to know that they were very strong one time, teams like England and countries like Germany. And like you said, you know, I agree with you. It's not the Germany that we used to know. But I think as far as the discipline-wise on the pitch, I think Germany probably has the best talent.
That is true. I hadn't considered the fact that perhaps under new management, the team is a little more mature. But you know what? I got to be honest with you. Looking at the teams in this World Cup, I'm liking England. They're a pretty strong and dominant team. They have great possession. They're very physical. So I don't want to get my hopes up with Germany. You know, as a Leafs fan, as an Arsenal fan, I'm used to not seeing success. I must admit the 2014 World Cup win for us was quite nice, but it's not something that I think I'm ever going to see again for quite a long time, especially with this team. But you know what? I appreciate your optimism, good sir. With that being said, I'm going to tip my hat to Portugal.
Portugal, they're in Turkey's group. Hopefully, Turkey gets out of that group, being in the second place. You know, Portugal probably will capture the first place. But the thing is, with Portugal, I have problems with the Portugal team. Here's why. I think they're a little bit older team. Mm-hmm. And Cristiano Ronaldo sometimes can't do everything by himself. And you might see them going to the next round. But I don't think, you know, it would be a surprise for me if Portugal gets the Euro 2024 trophy. I mean, looking at it, you know, the team that Czechoslovakia is pretty good team too. That's why I'm saying it's very tough for Turkey to get out of the group and, you know, forget about the first place. If they make it to a second place, it'll be a good thing because you have two strong teams, Czechs and Portugal, and Georgia is not an easy team. Georgia is very tough and physical team. And Turkey should be getting ready for that game for 100% because for any team in this kind of tournament, the first match when you're playing is very important. A tie might give you hope, but you want to win and get that 3 point in your first match.
Once again, you are correct because teams want to set the precedent, so getting those early points is definitely going to help. Bob, while we were talking, I actually went to ChatGPT to see who was going to win, and apparently it came out with the top three as France, Spain, and Germany.
There you go. I forgot about France. Very young team, and yeah, they, you know, it is like, you know, if something happens weirdly, upset of the year, and then gets, you know, teams like Greece, teams like Netherlands at this point, wins the Euro 2024. Because between France, Germany, and England, I think, like, you know, Chad Pizzi is right. I think one of those teams will win. I forgot the France.
Well, we usually always forget about the French anyways.
Well, you know, the French, if you look at the French team, they are very physical. Very good team. They're also a very disciplined team too.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, they have Kylian Mbappe, they got Antoine Griezmann. I was going to say they're defending champions, but that was Italy. But, you know, France is still going to be a tough team to kind of destroy.
Well, Mbappe is going into Real Madrid this past couple of days. And I mean, like, you have a star player like Mbappe, and Portugal has Cristiano Ronaldo. But I think if you put them against each other, let's say they play in some position in somewhere after the group matches. If France plays against Portugal, let's say Portugal goes through, I think France will have easy time beating Portugal, because Portugal is a much older team.
You are correct. I feel like the Portuguese era is slowly coming to an end. No more Ronaldo and no more Pepe.
Oh, yeah. Can you believe Pepe's still playing for Portugal?
No, I can't. I think he's more there on an honor system.
Oh, really? Because I saw his name. But I think, yeah, you might think so. But, you know, he's been playing in the league.
Yeah, no doubt. He's pretty good.
Yeah. He played in Turkey, you know that.
Yeah. Also, one of Canada's boys played there. Oh, what is his name?
Atiba and Kyle Larin.
There we go. Kyle Larin, that's it.
And there's a few other players that played for other teams from Canada. You know, what we, 20 years ago, you know, let's talk about the soccer in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Remember going back to 1994. I don't know if you remember those days when I used to work for a Turkish daily newspaper, Hürriyet. I came to Varsity Stadium in Toronto, year 1995. That was the first time that Turkish national team came over the Atlantic Ocean to a camp in Toronto, Canada. That time, the coach of Turkey was Fatih Terim, the legend.
And, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember that, but my age at the time, I was around 40. Yeah, close to 40 years old. But, yeah, I had good times in Toronto. And what I'm trying to say is, back then, the only stadium, you know, that Varsity Stadium was in Toronto, was only University Stadium. That was the only soccer stadium that holded probably 5,000 people. Now look at Toronto, owned by a rich family, the Toronto FC, and yep, they are in MLS. And since 1994 World Cup, I think the soccer that picked up big time in U.S. and Canada. You could see that from the national teams. You could see that from MLS League. And it's a huge business now. The concept for MLS is working like crazy. You know, there some things that they do, I don't agree. But it's all business mind. And you have you, I don't know, but in 1990s, not even one TV station showed soccer matches in the United States. And now, look, they're fighting each other. CBS, NBC, ABC, ESPN, they're all in it. And you know what's going to happen in 2026 when the World Cup comes here. It's going to be a huge thing. That's why I've been arguing here when I used to do a local show here in Rochester, New York, talking soccer with my late friend Alex Loy. I always argued there's going to be a day that soccer will be staying in North America. And that's what I want to say in this program, because a lot of people, naysayers of soccer and football, said no to soccer. But I think right now it's the probably third or fourth biggest sport in North America.
I agree. Also, streaming services like Apple TV and DAZN and ESPN Plus, that's definitely helping with the growth of soccer.
Crazy.
And to kind of further my points about this too, when David Beckham kind of came over, that really changed the game for North Americans, like primarily in Canada, the U.S., to watch. And then now we have Messi here, Suarez is here, Di Maria is coming over. Like, yeah, this is a fun time for MLS.
Huge thing, you know. And then they're making money. They're selling the jerseys. It is crazy. The concept of MLS for both Canada and U.S. teams are working perfectly. You know, they tried this in 1994. Mm-hmm. I mean, before 1994, when NASL was with Cosmos, with Pelé. But mm-hmm. the thing is, the concept of business mind was different then. I think Don Gerber, he's doing a fantastic job ever since he took this MLS league. You remember they started with the 10 team or nine or 10. And one time, Rochester Lancers were NASL team. Rochester Rhinos, they won the USA Cup. As you know, they beat the MLS team. They were in talks to having the professional team here, which the city one time called Soccer USA Town. But now, you know, we used the Rochester Rhinos used to play Toronto and we're in the minor leagues. And Toronto went to MLS. Rochester couldn't do it because you know why? There were not enough people with the big money. At the time, the franchise fee was only $25 million. Justin, you know how much is the franchise fee right now to go into MLS?
I don't know. $75 million?
$100 million.
Damn!
So, it is crazy. And, yeah, because the economy, what happened with big companies like Bausch Alam and Xerox and Kodak in this neighborhood, Rochester, around here, a lot of people moved out of Rochester, and it was the biggest thing was the stadium issue. And Toronto built a brand new soccer stadium, mm-hmm. and look what they're doing. You know, they're in the MLS, and I'm sure you probably follow them very closely too. I do follow them. And even though they're not doing too good in the league, but I think it's a big, people are going to watch professional soccer in Toronto.
Well, I mean, they are doing better than they did last season, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, right. Their star player, Insigne, the Italian player, any rumors that he's going to be transferring?
Not that I'm aware of. No, I don't think so. Have you heard of something?
There was a rumor online a couple days ago saying that one of the Turkish teams, Beşiktaş, was interested in him. When I heard the news, I said, it's probably another fake news from Turkey, because you get a lot of these fake or unauthorized news, gossip news coming out of Turkey a lot. The latest one I heard, Galatasaray young player Kerem Aktürkoğlu is coming to Miami. I said, Miami's got too many stars. They don't need any more.
No, they could share the wealth. You know what I mean? But, you know, I love that about soccer, though. There's always a lot of gossip going around.
In the transfer season, you know, after this Euro 2024, the transfer season will be hot to talk about. But the main, our main subject today, Euro 2024, is going to start. And I think a lot of the sports bar in North America will be filled with fans.
It will be, and I will be at every bar possible watching these games.
Right. Well, the starting matches are in the noon time. At least it's much better than starting like 6 a.m., right? I remember one time watching the World Cup, and waking up and watching the match at 5 p.m., 5 a.m.
Those were brutal times, but I was working night shift, so it didn't really bother me. Furthermore, fun fact, I was 1 year old in 1995.
Wow. Yes, I was in Toronto in 1995. I always liked Toronto to come shop and then go around the lake. It's a beautiful Ontario lakeside there. So Toronto is a... Only the thing that I don't like is the traffic.
Nobody likes the traffic here. It's god-awful.
Yeah.
Before we get you out of here, Bob, I gotta ask, who do you think is gonna take home the MLS Cup this season? Now, keep in mind, we're only 18 games in.
Yeah, it's too a little bit too early. You know, if, because right now, because the a lot of players are playing in the tournament, national team... they're going to a national team, and you know that's going to be make a big impact on like Miami. Mm-hmm. And I still think Miami has a chance because all those stars that they have, and they're going to have. So, you know, if Messi is capable of playing, not hurt, mm-hmm. I think Miami is the biggest team that. Comes into my mind. Atlanta looks good, mm-hmm. you know, but by the way, you probably followed this just happened the other day. Remember the great goalkeeper played in England and played for U.S. national team, Brett Friedel?
Yeah, I think so.
He's going to be advisor to a Beşiktaş president, club president in Turkey.
Ah, I love that.
Is that news or what?
That's the best news for Turkey right now.
So Brett Friedel will be in charge as far as transferring foreign players and looking out for young prospects from North America and Europe, because he does have a lot of connections. So, yeah, and getting back to your last question about MLS, you know, Atlanta is a good team. There are, you know, other teams on the other group is a lot of good teams. It's only 18 matches going into a season. It's going to be very hard, but I think Messi's Miami will be there.
I think Messi's Miami is going to take it as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our episode. I want to give a huge thank to my co-host for this evening, Mr. Bob Turkett. Actually, Bob, before we get you out of here, can you please drop your socials so our friends, family, and my mother can find you on social media?
No problem. The people who want to follow MLS and Turkish football, I'm at former Twitter, now X at Turkish Soccer. Also, I have a huge, huge following base on Facebook. Just Google or say Turkish Soccer on Facebook. Also on Instagram, Turkish Soccer.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for coming on the show, big guy. It means a lot to us.
No problem. Also, listen to my podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, YouTube, and all other apps.
And that'll conclude today's episode. Ladies and gentlemen, passengers and drivers, thank you so much for being here with us. I cannot tell you how much this means. Take care and have a great night. And happy Euros.
And that's the game. We've reached full time on this episode of Pro Source Podcasters. Your enthusiasm and support drive us forward, and for that, we're really grateful.
If you've enjoyed today's journey through the thrilling world of sports, please consider leaving us a review. Your feedback not only helps improve us, but also connects us to the community.
So don't forget to visit our website at prosportspodcasters.com
for exclusive content, episodes, and the latest updates in the realm of professional sports, where no sport is left behind.